Now, we've heard about old coal mines as being a useful place to dump our carbon dioxide, but how about old volcanoes? The next guest on is Peter McGrail, and he's from the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory in Washington State, and he's been looking at the carbon-catching properties of flood basalt. Now, that's a type of rock that's left over from when lava flowed out of volcanoes. Hello, Peter.
Good evening.
Thank you for joining us. So what's the basis to this technique? How does it work?
Well, basically, we would be looking at capturing CO2 from a stationary source, like a coal-fired power plant, and then injecting that CO2 deep underground, 2,000 feet to as much as, say, 3 miles below ground. And that CO2 would then enter into a special structure in these continental flood basalts. You have to think of these things, the way they were produced. We have these massive cracks that were in the Earth's structure, and these massive lava flows then extruded out of those massive cracks and extended out over many hundreds of miles. And these individual flows would have been separated by hundreds of thousands or millions of years. And what happens is that at contacts between these individual flows, there are cracks, crevices, and bubbles that are present, and this is where the porosity and permeability exists in these continental flood basalts for injection and movement of fluids, including CO2.
So you would, what would you do? Would you put the CO2 down as a gas, or would you dissolve it into the water first and then pump the water through those holes in the lava?
Well, it would go down an injection well as a liquid, and so that liquid CO2 would then enter into the formation, displacing water that was present in the pore spaces and fracture spaces in those interflow zones, and then eventually the water would then absorb that CO2. And the thing that we found is quite intriguing about these flood basalts is that once that CO2 dissolves in the water, we have very, very rapid reactions that occur between the CO2 saturated water and the basalt, and that CO2 gets converted back into solid rock. Calcium carbonate is the end product.
And so quite literally is turning the carbon dioxide into stone.
Absolutely, with no additional energy input required other than getting the CO2 into the basalt formations.
Now, here's the killer question. Does it work?
Well, that's a question that we're attempting to answer through some pilot studies that we're just about ready to start. We plan to drill our first pilot well here in eastern Washington State. It would be March or early April of this year. And then about the summer of 2008, we would be injecting 3,000 tons of CO2 into this, called the Columbia River Basalt Group here in Washington State.
That sounds like a lot, 3,000 tons. But putting that in perspective, that must be the output from a big coal-fired station over the course of, what, a couple of hours?
Of course, depending on size, but yes, that's right. It would be a few hours to maybe one shift in terms of CO2 production.
So how are you going to trace where the CO2 goes once it's in the ground?
A variety of ways, monitoring techniques that we use. There are techniques that we extract fluid samples from depth, and so looking at the change in the water chemistry around our injection well. We also use, they're called geophysical techniques. These are seismic techniques that allow us to actually look at and image the CO2 in the subsurface.
Are there any possible negative effects of doing this?
Well, of course, one of the things that has to happen in any geologic sequestration project is containment of the CO2. And so in these deep flood basalts, one of the research areas that we want to investigate is whether the CO2 is staying in the place that we think it will. And that is, we don't want to have cracks and crevices and fractures that would allow that CO2 to migrate a significant distance vertically. And the computer simulations don't suggest that that's possible, but of course they're just computer simulations. So field work is critical to proving out what we're seeing on our computer models.
And finally, Pete, how much CO2 do you think realistically the world could lock away in this way, assuming you're successful?
Well, one of the things we've done is taken advantage of geological data. The Department of Energy in Washington State has spent almost a half a billion dollars characterizing the Columbia River basalts here. And that information database has been extremely valuable to allow us to compute these numbers. And what we see is that kind of conservative estimates would be about 20 gigatons to 50 gigatons of CO2 capacity in just the Columbia River Basalt Group, which in perspective what that means is about 10 to 20 years of all the CO2 emissions from all the coal-fired power plants in the United States. So the capacity is actually quite significant.
Well, we wish you luck, and I guess we'll be talking to you in a year or so to see if it worked.
I'd be happy to join you again.
Thank you very much. That's Pete McGrail. He's from the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory in Washington State, where he's planning on pumping CO2 underground into lava flows to see if it can lock away CO2. This is The Naked Scientist with Dr. Chris and Dr. Helen. We're talking about climate change and how we can offset it, some of the ways to avoid the problem. If you'd like to join in, chris@thenakedscientist.com by email.
Sorting out the sparks from the quarks. The Naked Scientists. For more information, get online at nakedscientists.com.